Every day there's something very beautiful to think about and that the Word of God gives us, huh? We hear now Paul arriving in Corinth, which is going to be a place he stays a while, and they cause him so much pain, but he loves them so much. The most unruly community of the whole lot that he evangelized. In fact, so much that if you noticed, he never addresses the leaders of Corinth. Because there aren't any. He is. He couldn't turn that over like he did the other places. Huh? So he starts to live with Aquila and Priscilla. And then Silas and Timothy come down from Macedonia. So now he gets totally free to preach the word. He doesn't have to work. They can work. And he'll preach. There's opposition. And he goes to a house of Titus Justus. And Crispus, the synagogue official, begins to believe. So this is a whole new, we're in chapter 18, there's a whole new step now in evangelization. The gospel is preparing us for Pentecost. It's the words of the Lord which reveal a rhythm that the church will always live through until the Lord comes back forever. A little while you will no longer see me. If this is the Last Supper, that's just a day or so. And again a little while and you will see me. And that's 3 days after that. But these little whiles are expandable and contractible. So the disciples say, what does he mean by that? Because I am going to the Father. That means now I will die in an act of love. And 3 days later, my Father, by his glory, as it says in Romans, will raise me up. And this humanity which you see will become divinized. And my divine reality will shine through this humanity, enshrining it, not destroying it, not transforming it into something that it isn't, but enshrining it. It is divinized now. And then we have his presence to the church. We have the Eucharist. We have all this mysterious presence of the Lord. Huh? But that's not all. There will be a day when he comes back and ends history as we know it. Because in this resurrected glory, he is the Lord of the universe. And he will come back. In the meanwhile, there is this rhythm. You will weep and mourn and the world will rejoice. It's a funny thing, isn't it? Why does the world hate the gospel message? Why is that? In some ways, we understand, because we're all egomaniacs and the gospel message challenges us. But by the mercy of God, we don't quit. Please God. But you see, it goes right against the heart of sin. Augustine once said, you see, there are two cities. The city which is built on the contempt of God and to the exaltation of self. And the city which is built on the contempt of self for the glory of God. And by the mercy of God, we live in that second city. But there's difficulties. And then there's this rhythm. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. But your grief will be turned into joy, and that is my promise. What I am coming for, what I'm talking to you about, what I am promising you is joy. Joy. Forever. And anticipations of that joy, even now, in darkness and suffering. Immediately after this text that we have that seemingly a parable, but it's more than a parable. A woman who about to give birth, she's sad because her hour has come and there's going to be a lot of pain. But when the child is born, she forgets the pain. That's what's going to happen to you. But he's also alluding to a text in Isaiah where this whole thing is being said. And the promise is, the Lord, I will be your joy. I think this is a very apt text as we see ourselves moving toward every day more a moment of crisis where we may weep and the world rejoices and the world finally proves itself right for a little while. For a little while. Is that going to be difficult? Sure. What are we supposed to do? Love the Lord and love everybody. That's what we're supposed to do. And pray, and then use your head. Remember, it won't be you speaking, it'll be the Spirit of your Father speaking. I'm still struck by that thing we had the other day when Paul was beaten and then thrown in jail. And then there was this earthquake. And the jailer is coming, and Paul, either he sees him or knows this poor guy. He's not only going to lose his job, he'll lose, so he's ready to commit suicide. And Paul, who was beaten by this man and chained up by this man, says what? Look, we're all here, don't worry, it's okay. That's a Christian response. You have no idea how a real humanity, that is one that has been moved and sanctified by the Holy Spirit, can touch a life. A real humanity. And that's what we're doing right now. We're getting ready. We're letting the Holy Spirit try to make human beings out of us. So we're not egomaniacs. We're not filled with vengeance and fear and all that sort of stuff. We're human beings. We're real. That's what this moment is for. But a real human being is one who is in love with Jesus Christ and surrenders their whole life to Him. That's how we get to be real human beings. Because we're in touch with the divine, real human beings.